Good morning, Grace. Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Hey, this series really has been a great joy. I just want to give you a chance to thank all the people that were willing to share their stories in these videos. Took great bravery, courage to do that. I hope that you are inspired by them as your pastor, your shepherd, your friend. I just want freedom for you. I want you to walk in freedom. And I know because I get to sit with so many of you that we still slip into places of bondage, whether it's fear, whether it's insecurities, anxiety, all kinds of things that get us caught up. And the study of Galatians has just been a study that keeps reminding us that through faith we have Christ, through faith we have a new identity, through faith we can walk in freedom, and that's what we desire for you. We have the great privilege of having Martin here with us today. So Martin's going to come out and share, but I just want to tell you a little bit. Martin is a guy who could probably speak just about anywhere he wanted to. He's respected really around the world as a discipler, as a leader of leaders. We are incredibly blessed and humbled that you still want to come hang out at Grace and just give us your wisdom. And I'm thankful for that, and I know that you know this, but you are one of the voices that has changed the DNA of Grace and made it part of who we are, and we love you. So welcome, Mark.
Thanks, buddy.
God bless you.
Thanks, buddy. Thank you. Always good to be in this corner of sunny Michigan. Wow. I will say it again. It's always a sense of being at home to come here and see you. One of the things I like to do the first time of every year that I come is just give an update. Some of you know this well, and some of you are newer, don't know this. But I run an organization called Global Leadership, and as Grace Church, you've been one of our sponsoring churches for, I think, over 15 years now. So I want to just say thank you and give you a quick update. You know this, but somehow around Detroit, you seem to have perpetual road construction. It never quite gets done or improved that much, seemingly. But when you're sitting there in traffic really annoyed, there's always an orange sign that says your tax dollars at work. You go, could you speed it up a little then? This is your mission dollars at work. Let me just give you a quick update on what's been happening the first 6 months of 2019 for global leadership and our teams. We have so far been in 12 countries. We do intentional mentoring and leadership development networks. We've done leadership development and soul care equipping things in some dozen countries, with I think one of our last ones in Greece had people from 18 countries there. So although we've been in 12, we've probably influenced nearly 50 countries so far this year. I've had a couple hundred people come to faith in Christ already. We're asking God for more than 1,000 by the end of the year. And we've been seeing dozens of really unique healings, like dramatic ones, which is always a fun gig when you get to be there and God does the miraculous and you happen to be there at the same time. Many of you know about that. It's kind of fun. When we look at the second half of this year and on to next year, we'll be in more than 20 more countries doing what we do. We'll hope to see between 1,000 and 2,000 come to a faith in Christ. Our team, some of them have been here. Rob Reamer, I know, has been here. Ingrid Davis, a number of our team members have been here. I think we're on schedule to bring out 5 new books or resources. And on the last slide, I failed to mention, which I think is kind of important. There it is, at the bottom of the slide. The first 6 months of the year, we've accomplished all that on a budget spent of about $75,000. Yeah, thank you. We have decided to run a smaller organizational structure with people who go out and impart the best of what God's given to them. And we decided early on to not have a large organizational structure, keep it small, and have as much impact as possible on a limited amount of dollars. And it seems to have worked well for us so far. If it changes, I'll be back and let you know. Thank you. Thank you for this. The teaching and equipping things in the Middle East are taking on a new thing. It's a whole new dimension. We're not quite sure what's going to happen. I'm being asked to film me and somehow cover my image. And I went, that's a lot to cover. And I said, the other thing is my voice is distinct enough, you've got to alter my voice. So apparently they're giving me like a really high voice. So that one's fun. I'm excited. Within the next short amount of time, next few weeks, Power of Mentoring will come out in Arabic. And it's I've had it checked with people from five different countries, and they said the translation is superb. So we're very excited about that. So one more time, just thank you. Thank you. You have been in this Galatian series, and so I am here to somehow wrap it up for you. Which is interesting to wrap up Galatians on Father's Day. At first thought, it's not a direct connect, but if you think about it just a bit more, it's a very direct connect. The writer of Galatians, who's just come down to us as Paul, was the one who influenced them in faith. So in some ways, he is the father of their faith. He's the one that brought them to faith. He's the one that influenced them. It's why he writes the way he writes to them. And we'll talk about the tone of how he writes it. But he reminds them again that they have to be connected to the very heart of the Father. He just reminds them that that's what really matters here. And so the voice that's unique in Galatians has sort of different overtones to it. We're going to talk today about emotional tone and voice. Most of us, when we read the Bible, we're reading for truth. And we miss sort of the emotional tone. We don't know if it's like a direct tone, if it's an angry tone. We don't know if it's a nurturing tone. We sometimes don't even pay attention to it. We just read it for the words and the truth. And we sometimes miss the immediate impact because we've lost track of the tone. So as we go through the Father's voice in Galatians, it will sometimes sound validating and actually hopeful. There will be other times where it's not much at all. Sometimes it'll be corrective and strong, and there's even a couple times where Paul sounds a little cheeky. Now, I'm looking at this crowd. I'm not sure cheeky you're used to. So I'll explain it to those of you who don't get cheeky, because I think it will be lost on some of you. I'll remind you, this is cheeky, and you'll get that. And there's also times when Paul actually says, working with y'all is kind of confusing. Because you were free, and then you decided to go back to other religious stuff. Now, it's fun for me particularly to be here this weekend. There's somebody who's been a part of you for a long time. She's actually often up front, my friend Melissa Gray. And this weekend's her birthday. And I was actually here for her 40th, which I think's just like a couple years ago. And I had been I'd been invited to come and do a blessing for her 40th birthday. And I was able to stop a flight on the way back from Asia and stop it in Detroit and get off and come immediately from the airport to do this. And it was about tone. It was about emotional tone. And all of the things that were here were spoken over you that evening, well, validating and hopeful. Two subtle cautions that if you don't address these, it won't go as well as it could have. Because it was me, it was slightly cheeky. But what I found interesting was the audience, which would have been a number of people who were connected at Grace Church at the time. Just, it was, I was not prepared for the number of people who came up and said, that was very direct and honest. So, you mean lie to her? Like, it's her birthday. I'm giving some sort of prophetic blessing. Should I lie? And they go, it's like you knew stuff about her. Well, I'm sort of speaking for the Father, so yeah. And then the third response was like little kids. Will you come for my birthday? I've got a birthday party coming. Will you come? I think I had more than two dozen invitations to birthday parties of people I'd never met before. It was like little kids, do me, come on. Emotional tone's going to matter as we go through this overview today. So strap in, because sometimes you're going, yeah, I'm hitting this one well. And then other times you're going to be going, ooh, the big boy's mean. And then other times you'll laugh and laugh and want more. It'll be like a Broadway show. You'll laugh, you'll cry, you'll want more. Let's keep moving on. Galatians 1 to 3, the big overview of the first three chapters, goes like this. This is what happens when religiousness overrides relationship. He clearly spells out, you started well, but then you kind of went back to old structures. I don't know if you can see that in yourselves. It's okay if you can't. The people beside you can see it in you. It's so much easier to see in someone else than in yourself, because you get used to you. And so it's just a great reminder one more time to go, no, please don't. Because you see, this is about the relationship. We'll get to that in just a moment. Galatians 1 to 3 is, it's always astonishing. Paul will actually use this passage we read next. He uses the word astonishing, but it's always astonishing. When we leave our first love and we go to some sort of form that has duties of religiousness, it just stands in marked contrast. Father's Day is one of those hard days. I normally do a Father's Day in Harlem. I have a standing invitation, and I told him this year that I wanted to be with you instead. We thought we'd hit this angle and give them a break from me. But they say that in Harlem, Father's Day is one of the days of greatest depression. No one's very happy. There's just lots of sadness. And so Father's Day is a good day to just remind people, once you loved. And if you haven't been able to follow through, whether that's in connected relationships in human side or families or even with God, there's always one good day to come back to first loves. And when you do, it's always a time to sort of repent and apologize and start over. Works well in human terms. Works well in deep connectedness. It works well in families. It works well with God. And Paul's reminding them of this one. He said, you started out with this deep sense of love for God, and now you've reduced it to this other thing of keeping standards. Let's look at this passage in Galatians 1. He actually says, I'm astonished. I am astonished that you so quickly deserted the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ, and having turned to a different gospel, which isn't even a gospel at all. And he goes on in another part of Galatians, this time 3. I said he was going to be tough. He says, you foolish Galatians. Now, as a speaker, that's not a good way to start. For me to look at you and go, what a bunch of fools. Or make it even more direct. You fool? I'm going to go over here for a minute. Because sometimes you just sort of put your head down and go, fool. He's saying very directly, don't you get this? You started out with something unique and authentic and passionate. And it was a heart connectedness to God, and then somehow you got here? Because you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Are you so foolish? After having begun by means of the Spirit, you're now trying to finish by means of the flesh. You decided to do it on your own way, your own strength, your own structures. You create structures to make you feel better about this. Because that's just foolishness. So he would say, let me give you some fatherly wisdom. I'll join him. It's about persevering. He uses unique terminology. It's the imagery of a race. Now, whenever the Bible uses the imagery of a race, we automatically assume a running race. I don't. Mean people over here. But when the Bible uses it, you're not sure, is it actually a running race or is it a chariot race? We don't automatically go to chariot race because, I mean, come on, just be honest. How long has it been since you've been to a good chariot race? Well, for some of you, it's probably the 70s since you've been to a good chariot race. But for his immediate hearers, they thought of chariot race as well. But for us, let's stick with the running race. With the running race, come on, you always look ahead. You never look beside you or behind you. You set your sights on where you're going. You don't look down. You don't watch your feet. You know the track is smooth. So you set your sights and you keep running. It's where you are going and you are moving ahead systematically, directly. When Paul speaks to them in Galatians, he's saying, you've got to keep this clear focus. Don't look back. Don't go back to old patterns, whatever they were. So now we start this transition in Galatians. The end of chapter 3, he makes this definitive statement. Let's take a look at it. He says, so in Christ Jesus, we read those and it just sort of goes over our head. No. If you have crossed over from the old life to a new life, if you've crossed over, you know you've crossed over. And if you've crossed over, you are now children of God through faith. For all of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with him. And then he starts to say, it's time that we look at each other differently. He draws distinctions between people. We read it, and he says next, for you see, there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. And I just want to stop and go, that's not something you all talk about. Like, when was the last time you said, yeah, I went to a party with a bunch of Gentiles. That's just not terminology we use. Now, in my neighborhood, you do. I mean, very often, I'm the only Gentile someplace. But that's not normative to talk about in a church. But for these people who heard this, it was a big deal. It was a big deal because all of a sudden, he was speaking to Jews who had been converted. And he was saying, you see, you don't get to make the distinctions you used to make. You don't get to see people as less than you, which the Jews did to the Gentiles, which the Jews did to everybody at the time. You don't get to make a distinction where you put somebody less than you just based on culture, ethnicity, color, etc. You don't get to do that. That's what he's saying to them. But he also goes on to say these crazy things because he says, not just Jew and Gentile, but not slave or free. You know this, let me just remind you. The statistics tell us in 2019, there are more people enslaved around the world than ever in the history of humanity. But it's more based on economics than on race, color, cultures, anything else. Human trafficking, still about debts owed. Slavery is alive and well. When they heard it, he's going, please don't make the distinctions. You see, even those people, we always have those people. You know who those people are in your world? We often don't even define it as those people. And he's saying those people are now with you in Christ. And then he made this radical statement at the time. He goes, it's even male and female. And the Jews are going, no, you don't get to say that. Because see, the women don't get to come where we get to come. It's in the inner part. He's going, no, see, you're wrong. They have full status. They have full status. And you don't get to make those distinctions anymore. Because you see, you're all one in Christ. And he wants them to hear this. This is a major transition. So come on, let's make it so clear you can't miss it. It's time to update all of our perspectives. Our perspectives have to be updated. Multiculturalism is the norm. Multiculturalism with race, multiculturalism with ethnicity and color, and everyone who's not like whoever us happens to be. The institution where I have taught now for 32 years, I just finished my 32nd year as a grad school prof. We are often studied because we are the most culturally diverse accredited theological seminary in Canada or the United States. People want to study our doctoral program all the time. First 100 students came from 40 countries or culture groups. I said, I love multiculturalism. Hard to pull off well, but I love it. And it's time for us to see each other differently than just based on one aspect of someone's being. Now, one of the things I love to do that I'm not going to do here is single somebody out of the audience and begin to have a private conversation with them. And let, you know, several hundred of their friends listen in. And it goes like this. It's time for you and I to have a talk because you and I understand something. And that is that really good-looking people understand each other. Dude, that's not, you're not supposed to laugh at that one. It's the neck stuff. Don't laugh at this one. It's the neck stuff. Yeah. Don't laugh at me not being good-looking. Okay. But it makes everybody uncomfortable because I've singled somebody out and we're having a private conversation. And people are laughing, but sometimes not because it's funny, because it's nervous. Because it goes on way too long. And I actually say, see, you and I understand it, but the rest of them won't. It's a great way to win an audience over. So it's multiculturalism. It's also gender. Sometimes it surprises me we're still battling with some of the things that we haven't been able to welcome yet, that we make so many distinctions. So let me just offer one suggestion. Two. Here we go. See people the way he sees them. I think that's what Paul's trying to get across to the Galatians. You see, you have these categories that you've lived by, but we're now in Christ, and in Christ, those aren't the distinctions anymore. It's not an us versus them. It's an us. And the us gets included all sorts of people you aren't used to. Notice I have gender, male, female, and then a question mark for people who are in transition of some sort. We kind of don't need policies of who to include and exclude. We're there for people on the journey. Where I live, it's absolutely necessary. So let's see people the way he sees them, but then let's begin to see people for who and what they can become. Yes. 2 weeks ago, I was at a conference. I was asked to be one of the keynote speakers, and I said, here's what I'd rather do. It's nice to get in a time of your life where you don't just say yes or no, but you go, can I say yes? But I get to do it. I get to like advise what's going to actually happen. And I said, I know your audience. To bring me in is only going to be slightly useful, but let me bring in the best of the emerging young leaders I know, male and female. And they go, we only have male speakers. And I said, no, you used to only have male speakers. I've got some women speak, and you'll go, oh dear God, why didn't we invite them before? So we lined it up, male, female. Black, Asian, Latino. I actually brought in a Puerto Rican Pentecostal, and they weren't used to that. And him and his wife spoke together. She was supposed to translate, but I think she was more corrective than anything else. It was great fun to watch them. Now, while I was there, I noticed that the organization had a photographer. And I got slightly uncomfortable because more pictures were being taken of me than I thought was necessary. And so finally, on the beginning of the third day, I stopped him. I go, dude, look, I'm obviously not the best looking person here. I've seen way better. But I'm getting a disproportionate number of pictures. What's the deal? Is it the charm? What is it? And it was like he got caught and he goes, I probably am taking too many pictures of you. So we'll stop it then. And I said, tell me why. And he said, it's an interesting thing. When I go around the whole, there's 5,000 people there. And he said, when I go around, there's always people around you who aren't like you. There's groups of women, young and older, because there's Asian groups. He goes, I've watched you be waved in by a group there. He said, I think there are a bunch of Caribbean guys. He goes, every place you are, you're with a group of people who aren't like you, and they're all laughing. He said, so you're saying I'm photogenic? He goes, no, I'm saying that different kinds of people who are drawn to you and you don't hang out with people who look like you. and they're always somehow enjoying what's going on. I said, please tell me it's not rare here. And he goes, it's why you're getting a lot of the pictures. I said, you're going to Photoshop somebody else's face in there, aren't you? Because you can't have that many pictures of me. And I thought, God, thanks. I got one right. Can we all get this one right? It's not about people like us, because people like us are way broader. Paul reminded us, it's all these other kinds of people as well. Now, he gets a little direct here. Because the next thing he says in chapter 4 is, what has happened to all your joy? Now again, you need to coach Paul on, this is not how you speak to an audience and win them over. What has happened to you? What's happened to your joy? And then he says tough things in chapter 4, verse 11, he goes, have I wasted my efforts on you? Like, I've invested heavily in you. Has it been a waste? Like, are you going to go back to the old structures and old life and old perspectives? If you're going to, it feels like I've wasted all this I've poured into you. Then he says in verse 20, how I wish I could be with you now and actually change my tone. I told you the text was going to talk about tone. I wish I could change my tone because I'm perplexed about you. And then he gives him a simple reminder at the end of chapter 4. He says, please remember, you are children of the promise. Now for the Jews who heard that, see, that went back centuries, the promise of the coming of Messiah. And he said, you are the children of the long-standing promise, children of the promise. You want to go back there? No, you're children of the promise. Let's transition to chapter 5, because in chapter 5, the tone sort of goes all over the place. Stick with me. I'll give this to you. In the first verse of chapter 5, he said, it is for freedom in Christ that you have been set free. You've run a series. I've watched a number of the videos that have come in. They're good. It's about freedom. But he doesn't just remind them of their freedom. It's a nurturing tone. And he said, now stand firm. Not stand firm as a threat, but as a nurture, like a father comes alongside and says, you can do this, but you've got to do your part. Stand firm. You can do it. Then he gives a challenging tone. In verse 7, he said, you were running a good race. Who cut in on you? Now, most of us aren't runners to the point where we're trying to run a race and somebody cuts in on us. So let's adapt to your world. You're driving, and someone cuts in on you. Let's talk about what you do. You're children of the promise. So your first instinct is not to hit the steering wheel and yell at them and give the symbol of universal disapproval. You wouldn't do that. I don't want you to focus on the anger or the resentment part. Focus on the mental process. You're doing well, you're minding your own business, you're going where you want to go, and someone cuts in on you. It disrupts things. You've got to adjust. That's the imagery here. You are moving ahead, trusting Christ with the best and the darkest side of your life. You are making progress, but you let somebody cut in on you. And then in verse 12, he moves from nurture and challenge to cheeky. You ready? He says, if you're going to go back to religion, which for them, the male leaders, was circumcision, he said, if you're going to go back to that, why don't you go the whole way and just emasculate yourselves? If you're going to cut part of it, cut it off. Wow, tough audience. That must be funny downriver. Certainly not up here. Do you get the picture? He's going, if you're going to say this thing's good for us in faith, take the whole thing. That's not what does it for you. Come on. There's way more to it than this, he says. So hear the Father's voice. He's going to summarize, and it goes like this. We've already been singing about it this morning. It is Father's Day. God's viewed as Father in Scripture. Let's summarize it one more time. He wants you. Simple, straightforward, no nonsense. The God of the universe, the Father of your soul, wants you. He wants your heart. He wants your will. He wants your intentions. He wants you to unpack and heal the soul. It's kind of hard to move ahead with him if there's old stuff stuck in your soul. Because you know what happens if you don't unpack the stuff in the suitcase of the soul. It gets nasty and stinky. The problem is, you get used to it. There's actually commercials about when you walk into someone's house and you smell it, they've gotten used to the smell. But it's offensive to outsiders. It's a good picture of our souls. So unpack it. Heal the soul. He puts it in relational terms, so come and be with him and then create this partnership. Let's wrap up chapter 5, shall we? Because he talks about the uniqueness of your spirit. When the Bible talks about your spirit, it's the best of your human spirit, the best of his Holy Spirit come together. So he puts this in Galatians 5 in the context of, here's what it's like when you fulfill aspects of your humanity in the flesh, the darker side of it. Here's what it's like when you fulfill that of the Spirit. And he makes a clear distinction. I want to make it so clear you can't miss it. There is a dark side to the human spirit. We know that. If you're unaware of yours, let's deal with that. For more than 30 years, I always hate mentioning that. Because again, the people who are youngest go, dude, I wasn't even alive, and you just seem old when you do this. But forgive me, I have to reference it once in a while. But when I started, I used to talk about the dark side and the shadow side. Now, I've probably given the talk on the dark side, shadow side to, 100,000 people maybe? That's not an exaggeration at all. I have never had a man come up to me and go, Martin, when you talk about dark side, I'm not sure I have one. I've never had a man say that to me. As a matter of fact, guys go, oh man, mine's really clear. But almost every time I give it, I have women who come up to me and go, I'm not sure I have a dark side. And there's anywhere from 2 to 10. I want to laugh, but I figured out that's not very gracious. And so I say, there's two ways to find your dark side. Number one, just guess. I bet you're right the first time. It's not very scientific, but come on. I said, or here's my favorite one. I hand him a card. It's got my email on, no cell. And I say, here's my email. Get 3 of your closest friends and just say to them, don't prep them anything, just say, if I was to have a dark side, what might it be? And they just report back to me what they say. The emails are hilarious. I end up getting phone calls, which is intriguing to me because I never gave them my phone number. And they all say, it's almost always the same thing. They go, ask my friends. And my friends started to laugh. And they go, like, you don't know? And I said, let me guess. All 3 of your closest friends used almost the identical word or phrase, didn't they? And they go, how did you know? Because it's fairly obvious. The shadow side, the dark side has to be addressed. It's not going to go away on its own. And if you're not sure of yours, well, it's not that hard to find it. Unless your friends tell you lies. And then you need different friends. So let's deal with that. Paul addresses the dark side, the shadow side. But then he says, on the other side, when you walk with the Spirit, like the fruit of the Spirit's in your life. I love listening to people try to quote this. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You know, love, joy, peace, patience, self-control. Listen, don't read it. And after service, ask people, to give you the fruit of the Spirit, and you'll get the same thing. Love, joy, peace, patience, and then it sort of blurs, and most remember self-control. By the thousands, that's how people quote it. So the text actually says very clearly, live. Live into this fruit of the Spirit, so that's just a part of your life. So when the people are around you, they'll just know. With my closest friends, when we're together, we say things like, you're really tired, aren't you? Like, how can you tell? Because the best part of you is not coming through today. And we all know each other. And we know the signs. And we just kindly say to each other, we're noticing. Can we be there with you and for you to help take care of that? Because this is not you. This is what you were. Let's not stay there. Those are friends. Because you see, we live this out in community. It's in community where this gets lived out well. So I simply say to you, walk with him. Walk in step with the Spirit. It was about 3.5 years ago now. I thought, I don't want to do this with ministers or church leaders. I identified 7 people I knew, loved, respected. They were all business exec people. And the 7 lived in 5 countries, 4 men, 3 women. Just sent them an email and said, I need to hear from you in the next 30 hours. I talk big. I've got no authority. But I need to hear in 30 hours. And here's what I need. I need to know what it's like when you walk in step with the Spirit and what you're like when you don't. Just get back to me quickly. 6 of them got back to me immediately, and one said, look, I'm traveling. I probably need 36 to 40 hours. Okay, fine. It was really insightful for me to get this, but one stuck out. It was a guy who used to live in Boston. He was living in London at the time. And he was very bold, and he goes, Martin, everybody who knows me, including myself, thinks I might be the nicest guy anybody knows. Now, how many of you say that about yourself? I might be the best guy I know. And he said, when I am in step with the Spirit, everybody notices it. It's just clear. The people closest to me, people work with me, strangers. Like when I am in step, it is so good. And when I am not walking in step with the Spirit, there were 3 little dots, and it said, oh, dear God. He said, the contrast is so distinct, you can't miss it. He said, I can see the looks on people's faces. I can watch how they interact and react to me. And immediately, he goes, I got to go someplace and take care of this one. May the sensitivity of your spirit be that good. Because if not, you'll let the old patterns creep back in and get used to the smell. And the others around you go, don't you smell that? Don't you? It's Father's Day. All of us came from someplace. We come in family structures. I'm not pulling my phone out because I'm bored and want to check texts and see if anybody's wishing me happy Father's Day. I want to read to you from my journal. It was Father's Day 2016. I was away with a group of people that I'd mentored and stopped to see my kids along the way. Got up early Sunday morning. I was on the Chesapeake Bay. Here's my journal entry from that day. Reflecting on my first Father's Day. I wasn't quite 20. What a difference. What a ride. What a bunch. What a life. Never could I have guessed any of this back then. Life was new and scary and fresh. Dreams and hopes and plans and uncertainties. I decided I should quote Bob Seger since he's from Detroit. And I said, I was 18, didn't have a care. I was 18 and solid everywhere, working in the sun like a rock. 40 years Where'd they go? 40 years? I don't know. And then in parentheses, I said, actually, I do. Spent a lifetime investing in them, the kids, and thousands of others. However, I wish I didn't know now what I didn't know then. So it's Father's Day 2016. Wow, what a difference. Diana's gone. The kids have scattered. People regard me, love me, but no one's here. No one stops by, no one checks in. I tell myself it's okay. I think it actually is okay. It's just so different. I love the kids. I love people. I'm more alone than lonely, actually. I have hundreds, maybe thousands, who love me. Seriously, a bunch. They're younger, they're older, they're male, they're female. I get lots of affection and hugs. It's just so different. Never thought I'd be here, especially not at this age. I am okay. I will be okay. I need to adjust faster, better, more. I guess this is what it's like to walk with him and to walk in step with the Spirit. Update today, 3 years after I wrote it. It's better. Today is one of those days. Whether you write a letter to somebody, whether you sit alone and think through a journal entry like this, or whether you have an opportunity to articulate something meaningful to someone, it's time to update. You have been given a lot, the love of the Father. Pass it on. May I pray for you? Please. Lord, none of us just appear. None of us just appear alone on this planet. We've come from someplace. There are people who have poured into us, people who've attempted, sometimes not done well, but they've attempted to build into us. So today we want to reflect on, first of all, you and all that you've deposited into us, and reconnect that sense of first love. But then as people either sit and reflect alone or congregate with people who they include as part of them, may there be conversations, maybe even speaking of some regrets, some forgiveness offered and some forgiveness received. May you direct. It's the voice of the Father to our souls. May you direct it so clearly, that we don't miss the opportunity. We love you today and want you to know that. It's an honor to be your child. Can we pass on the best of what you've given to us, to others? In the name of Christ our Lord, amen.
Thank you, Martin. Yeah. Hey, we're going to wrap up the service. As we prayed for you today, a couple things stood out. One, and it just fits to what Martin has been talking about, that there is for sure people in the room who just feel a great need to return to the Father, that you've wandered away, that you've gotten in a place where you're just not walking with the Spirit the way Martin has talked about it. We would love to meet you down here, pray with you, pray for you. Sure, the Lord has just made it clear to me that there are a few people in the room that are just locked up with fear. and we would love to pray some freedom for you. I don't know what the fear is about, but you came here knowing that fear was just a big part of your emotional state, and we just want to be with you in that. If you have a spiritual need, a physical need, our prayer team would just love to be with you. So Lord, as we go from this place, we just ask that you would guide, that you would direct. I pray for the people who right now know that that word was for them. What Martin talked about was just for them, that they would be courageous enough to walk down here and just to be prayed with, prayed for, that they would leave what they need to leave and they would take what you have for them. Help us to be children of promise. Help us to walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Happy Father's Day. God bless you.